Well, good morning, everyone. This is the Morning Voice, and I am Tom Moulton, your host. I'm here every Thursday, and we're going to be doing a few new things today. We're also going to be certainly live on 10:30 a.m. We're also streaming on KVOI.com, and if all is going well, we're on Facebook as well. That's just put in 10:30 a.m. KVOI, and you'll locate the Facebook page for this wonderful show. And boy, do we have a great show today, and lots of guests that are joining. Can I get a thumbs up from everybody on camera that you're hearing me well?
All right, that's always good.
When technology is working, that's fantastic. All right, so we're going to make sure we mute myself here so I don't hear two of me.
One is enough.
All right. Stand by here. A little technical difficulty here. There we go. I think we're all good. Matt, right? He sounds good? All right, fantastic. So we got this new beta Facebook equipment here, guys, so bear with us, but I can see your beautiful faces, and really want to thank you all for being here. I have to tell you, this is going to be a really special show because it infects the entire world, because we're here talking with several people from Skull International, and Skull is a global tourism organization, and it connects travel and tourism professionals around the world, and boy, do I have a guest slate from all over the world. And good morning to Denise Scrafton, who's the Skull International President for 2025. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning to you, and greetings from Torremolinos in Spain.
Ah, so fantastic. You're traveling again, it looks like. Yes. Now, you're call home where?
I call home the Gold Coast in Australia.
That's fantastic. So, Andres Hayes is on the phone and on the video as well. And
Socrates Kala.
It's good see you, sir. And you have a kind of a dual role here, and I think we're going to probably tap into your years of Skull experience as well as the fact that you've got this little incoming 2026 Skull International President role, a wonderful succession plan that's in place, so you get to learn a lot. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be here today.
Thank you.
Greeting from Washington, D.C.
Ah, fantastic. Yes, you were part of the Skull Washington, D.C. Club. Wayne Lee, good friend from New York. He's the vice president of Skull USA, and he's also has the pleasure of being on a new succession plan. Who is also the president elect of Skull USA. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Tom, and greetings from New York. And thank you for allowing me to be here.
We were going to have Frank open up the show today, but he wasn't available. So, Wayne, you're a good replacement for Frank.
Okay, perfect.
Art Allis is in the studio, and Art and I go way back. We measure our relationship now in decades, and we've been friends, and both in the hospitality industry as well as Skull. And while he's been a longtime member of Skull Tucson, he's also been a longtime member of the executive committee and or the board, depending on who he talked to. And he's the Skull USA Vice President of Finance, but I know that's not your new title now. You're the chair of the finance committee. Is that how the new bylaws say? Or what do they say there, Art?
Whatever you wanted to do.
So I have the pleasure of having Art Allis in the studio today, and he and I are going to kind of talk mostly during the 8 o'clock, where we're going to do kind of a profile of Art and what Skull has meant to Art's. And, you know, we're going to be I forgot, there's Tim Vemberstedt. He's also on the phone. Is that correct? Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tommy.
Now, for y'all, that Tim is former marketing director of the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum. That's our number one visitor attraction here, and since I represent the the attractions industry here in our community. Tim gets to join me almost every show and helps me out when I start stuttering. So thank you, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Just bear with me, guys, here, because before we get into talking to each one of you, I just wanted to throw a few facts out there, because we're gonna this show is going to have a little bit of a workforce development twist. And Wayne, this is going to be near and dear to your heart, and actually for all of you, is because we have a three-tier approach, and these guys may correct me because there may be more than that, on how we are helping folks in tourism not only get a great job, but to advance within tourism as well. So just talking briefly to Wayne via email, you know, kind of came to me that, you know, last year we had all the Skoll folks together and we talked about the organization, and we'll get into that. But the focus, I think, at least on the umbrella, is workforce development, because we all need great employees. And we all know that we keep great employees by providing retention programming. And I have to tell you, I think I couldn't think of a better career development that I have been through, and that is being part of a Skoll, being part of Skoll USA and the management, and just knowing all of the Skoll folks from around the world. So a couple really quick facts. Tourism is the number one export here in Arizona. You know, it used to be copper, and it used to be cattle, it's now tourism. So that's a wonderful place to be, especially if you're in the tourism business. There's so many good facts, but let's start with Arizona. 187,000 people are in the tourism and travel industry here in Arizona. $8.5 billion in earnings. Visitors, 45.67 million. So I know we don't beat the state of New York, but, you know, we're doing pretty good for, you know, having 7 or 8 million people in the whole state. Visitor spending, 29.3 million. We love those economic development. Now, if you go into USA tourism, we talk about economic impact. So U.S. generated over $1.1 trillion. That's with a T, as my friend would say, in economic output in 2024. Employment, 9 million jobs. Now, we lost a lot during COVID, but they're coming back. Visitor spending, $250 billion. This is international visitors, so we love international visitors, Denise. And The top destination, Wayne, you know what it is, United States?
I would say New York.
You're absolutely. If I had a dinger here, I would be dinging it right now.
I would say behind on that, Tom, would probably be a Las Vegas or maybe even an Orlando.
Well, you're almost there. Number two is Los Angeles. Orlando is number three. And Las Vegas is number four. And guess what, folks? We have Skoll chapters in every one of those cities. So you'll be learning more about that. Skoll International has currently, let's just say, over 12,000 members, 296 clubs throughout the world, and 85 countries. So I wanted to really kind of set the tone. The largest number of clubs are in the USA with 35 clubs, but we have a couple of markets that are getting close to us. But we still enjoy that statistics. And we just got the numbers hot off of Wayne this morning of 1,357. So I wanted to start with that, because the tremendous amount of impact is tourism here in our community. And it's in a lot of communities, certainly throughout the world. And Skoll International plays a major role. And that's going to be the theme of this entire hour to 2 hours, depending on who's can stay on the phone and on the Zoom call. But I wanted to get rolling here, and I can see everybody very well. And I'm going to turn this, Matt, to this camera right here. And I don't know whether you're going to be able to pick it up or not, but we're going to give it a try. So that way everyone here on the can see you guys as I go through the all these questions that we're doing here. And we're going to give this a try, Matt, and it may not be perfect, but we're going to find that camera there. And okay, great. So what we're going to do is move this back here a little bit and move that down a little bit. All right. Listen, this is you guys now are live and on Facebook. And so we can see you. There we go. All righty. That's perfect. Well, Art, what do you think?
I'm on radio. I don't get the picture.
Well, we do have the face for radio here, don't we? The bearded guys. We're the bearded guys on there. Well, again, I got to watch the clock because we're going to have breaks that are going to come in and out here. So we're just about ready to go on our first break, guys. So have some patience. 30 seconds, Denise. Tell us what Skoll International is.
Well, Skoll International is the largest tourism organization in the world, and it's the only organization in the world that represents every sector of the tourism organization. I mean, you have restaurant associations, you have travel agents associations, but we cover the entire sector. And it's got an interesting background. It was formed in 1932 out of a group of Paris agents who went to a KLM flight presentation. And they became friends, and out of that, Skoll was born.
All right, perfect. And 30 seconds, Denise. Folks, we're going to go to our first break. You're going to have the pleasure to listen to some of the folks that are sponsoring the show, including our DMO, Visit Tucson, here in the community. And this is The Morning Voice, and I have lots of special guests today about Skoll International. And we'll see you back here at, right after the break. This is Tom Moulton, and we're on The Morning Voice. Well, good morning. We're back, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host for Thursday, and we're all about tourism today. All of my guests are from some role in Skoll International, and you just heard from Denise, who is the Skoll International President 2025. Andres, we pronounced those words correctly, is the Andres, tell me your title right now before you become the incoming Skoll International President.
I'm the Vice President. I'm International Vice President, President-elect for 2026.
Okay, great. And Wayne is the Vice President of Skoll USA. He's in charge of membership, and he's the President-elect, which is kind of a new thing that happened maybe a year or so ago, where we wanted to have a guaranteed succession plan, just like Skoll International has. And then Art Alice, a longtime friend from Skoll Tucson, has been involved in major leadership roles in Skoll USA. I keep underperforming those numbers, but how many years have you been directly involved as both an executive, a board member, and an auditor?
This is my 11th year.
11 years.
6 years as Vice President of Finance, and I was auditor 3 terms, 5 years.
So I was just, so I throw my name in there, 7 years, and I timed out. I couldn't go any further. We gave some chance for folks like Wayne and others to come in and be the leadership of Skoll USA. And then I was involved with a committee. So we're, anything that you do in life is how much you put back into it. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about Skoll, as you'll learn today, is that the opportunities are unlimited, but it takes an extra effort from everybody. Whatever you're doing, whether it's work or whether it's a membership organization, is you get out what you put into it. And the folks that are on the show today have put a lot back into Skoll International. And I would have to say, and you guys can nod or agree with me, is that your career has advanced because of your engagement in Skoll. Would you all agree to that?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. So we're on the right topic here. We're going to start with Denise. Denise, I know you gave just a brief overview of what Skoll is all about, but I think what we always try to do, and put on your media hat where you're talking in sound bites. But how did you get involved in Skoll? I think that's important for all of us to know from each one of our guests.
Well, I in Australia worked for the largest hotel group in the country. We had 500 hotels, and all the men used to go to Skoll at lunchtime. Ladies weren't accepted in those days. And they came back one day and they said to me, they've decided to take women. And it took me a little while, but eventually I joined and it was the best thing I ever did. The people I met, I've always worked in inbound into Australia. We talk about international tourists coming in. Well, I've worked in inbound into Australia. And so I knew all the inbound tour operators. I knew all the overseas wholesalers. I knew everyone I needed to know. But all of a sudden, Skoll opened a new world to me. All of a sudden, I met the tourism industry globally. And that's been an absolutely amazing treat. And so good for my career, so good for me doing more business around the world, that, you know, it is really worthwhile for anyone in an organization to have that experience and to broaden their relationships.
Great, fantastic, and glad you're here again this morning. Andres, the same kind of question, you know, how's your career advanced and how has Skoll been part of that?
Yeah, thank you for that, Tom. I started a few years ago, probably 14 years ago, and I was invited to host. I was actually the GM of one of the few White Table Club restaurants in Washington, D.C. And I was invited to host a delegation. Actually, it was the USA National Committee. I think you were on the board at that time. And I said, well, yeah, sure. And they started talking to me about Skoll. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll just host them. Then one of the members, Steve Richard, from the local chapter invited me to come to one of the events. I'm like, I'm not interested. And finally, I decided to go. And one of the things that literally caught my attention was the Skoll toast. Is the meaning of those words. That's the thing that literally got my attention. I said, oh, this sounds like an interesting organization. You know, when we said to fellow colleagues everywhere, happiness, good health, friendship, and long life. I said, well, these are meaningful and powerful words. And then when I started digging into the extent of Skoll, the first year that I joined, I went to my first World Congress out of my own pocket just to be able to, and I literally understood the meaning and the power of being a colleague. You know, where you get to interact with other members around the world, where you tend to experience the different cultures, where you tend to experience the meaning of doing business amongst friends, that for me is valuable. That now, through my tourism consulting firm, 90% of the business I do with colleagues. So for me, it has had a huge impact, not necessarily from a professional, but also from a perspective that I can be able to assist other colleagues doing business.
Great, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wayne, same question, sir.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I joined Skoll back in 2017, and what lured me in to learning more about the organization and what we stand for and how it could, you know, possibly help me and my growth. I have a boutique marketing communications agency here in New York, and we market international destinations to North Americans. So it fit well. You know, and to this day, I mean, whenever I get new clients, I would say 75% of them are coming from a lead or an introduction or a fellow colleague. So, you know, we just signed on two new cruise lines as an example, and both are members of Skoll. You know, so I think it carries weight. I will say that, well, I know it carries weight. I will say that, you know, Skoll isn't for everyone. you know, but it is for those that want to accelerate in their career. It is for those that want to accelerate their career, you know, so it's it individually and also as a group and as your career as you move along. So that's why I love SCAL.
Wayne, thank you. And I'm going to interview Art in depth at 8 o'clock. So you're going to hear a lot more about Art Allison, maybe a little bit about me and how SCAL is really not only accelerated our career, but we would have to probably both admit that we were a big part of the tourism growth here over the last 20 years as well. Not necessarily the Art and Tom show, but SCAL for sure. Well, thank you all. I mean, I think this is a really personal touch to all of these folks that are on the radio in the video this morning, because they've all not only had their career impacted by SCAL, but SCAL International, SCAL USA, their local clubs have also been impacted by their passion. And one of the things about SCAL, Denise, we'll go over to you, and probably all of you want to join in. What are some of the other highlights that come to you about SCAL? Not necessarily how it's impacted you, but how has the organization impacted tourism? And I'm going to start with you, Denise, because obviously you represent not only SCAL International, but you represent Australia wherever you go. And I think tourism is important to Australia, isn't it?
It's extraordinarily important to Australia. We're talking about export markets, and it's one of our biggest export markets as well. Of course, we're a much smaller country than the USA, and I think we closed last year at just on 9 million visitors. We've only got 25 million people in the country, so that's pretty good.
Yes.
But the impact, I think, for tourism is that, as I said before, we represent the entire industry. We get everybody together. They can talk. We get like-minded people together and people that have got on different sides of the fence, and they're very healthy discussions. We have some incredible congresses. I've been to some incredible congresses, and we spread the word about our countries.
So, Denise, we hear that the music is in the background, and that means we're going to go to another commercial break. So hold those thoughts, and we'll get right back to you, because I think it's important to understand how important it's been to Australia, SCAL in particular. So this is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. Well, we're back, and this is The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Tom Moulton. I'm with SCAL International folks today, and we're talking about the importance of tourism in our communities, and of course, how does that affect workforce development? And if you're in tourism or in the travel industry, let me just say, go out and look for your closest club. Some people call them clubs, some people call them chapters. And I have to tell you, when you get a chance, but we're going to talk a little bit, because there's really three phases, three programs where SCAL can help you enhance your career if you're considering becoming an employee within the tourism and travel business, or if you're already in the travel and tourism business and you want some little help, some mentoring. SCAL is really the place to find it. So we were just talking with Denise she's from Australia. She's the SCAL International President for 2025. And Denise, we got a lot to cover. So let's go ahead and maybe spend about a minute, because you were in the middle of talking about tourism and Australia and how SCAL has been playing a major part in that.
Well, just to continue, yeah, exactly. Australia is a very strong SCAL country. We're the fourth largest SCAL country in the world, even though we only have 25 million people. And obviously our tourism workforce is a lot less than a lot of other countries. So we're very proud of that. We've got just on 900 members. And we also held a World Congress several years ago in Sydney, which showcased Australia brilliantly to the rest of the world. And we had somewhere between 700 and 800 delegates at that Congress. And so the way that we can expose the country, the way we can introduce our people to others around the world and create jobs for people and introduce like-minded people is quite incredible.
Yeah, let me touch on that. So from a personal perspective, real quickly, there's nothing better for somebody in tourism to enter a room full of people that are in tourism. The excitement, the knowledge that you can gain from... I was in Quebec City when Skol Tucson allowed me to go to my first kind of regional, but it's somewhat international because all the countries were there represented by some of their officers. And I was with the founder of Skol Tucson, so that was even more special. And we had a great time and just... you know, tourism people are outgoing. They have a lot of integrity. So a lot of times when you go out and you're interviewing someone, ask them if they're a Skol member, because I have to tell you, there's certain employment traits that follow someone who's been a Skol member. And I think passion and authenticity, I guess, hard word for me to say, and it's very important when you're trying to hire somebody. So we do a lot with Skol, and we encourage people to let people that they're being interviewed by that they are a member of Skol. So Andres, some of the highlights that you can remember that have helped Skol grow as well as helped you individually.
Me individually, like I said before, just to be able to interact and to learn about, you know, other countries, you know, all the different trends that are happening in other countries. I've been blessed that I have the opportunity to travel around the world. And every time I travel, I try to visit, you know, clubs or chapters in the cities where I go to. And to understand what are the needs and what they're going to, it gives me a broader perspective of the organization because every single one is different. And then one of the things that we focus on in not losing the actual the main concept of our organization, and also to be able to advocate for global challenges, to advocate about, you know, what we're experiencing when it goes to sustainability. Human trafficking is something that is very dear to us as well. So these are the type of things that we can definitely use our voice to be able to make a difference about, you know, what we're experiencing in our industry. For instance, as you all know, during the pandemic, as you mentioned at the introduction, Tom, we lost a lot of members and they changed career. They went to different areas or they made a career path. But at the end of the day, these are the reasons why we have to see why they decided to make that change. You know, there are multiple reasons and we're not going to get into that. But the thing is just how can we keep attracting more people into coming to this wonderful industry? And as you mentioned, you know, this is one of the industry that, first of all, I love to say jokingly, but I mean, serious in a way, you know, you will never get bored in this industry. There's always going to be something new about this. Every day you will learn something new. And at the end of the day, it's one of the most amazing interesting industries that you can find. So I learned to be able to learn about, you know, from a multicultural perspective, what are the challenges that each country is facing and how can I actually bring a voice as member of the executive team of Skol to be able to change that and to assist and to be able to accommodate some of the requests. But most important personally for me is just to be able to have, not that I knew, but I love to have them. I have more friends. And, you know, you get to travel and you can just pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, I'm in town. And not because you talk to them every day, you were going to pick up where you left the last time you saw the person. So for me, that's one of the most amazing things that I've experienced.
Thank you. And, you know, personal visitation is so important, especially when you're in the travel industry. And we all struggled, certainly during COVID. But I have to tell you, we probably took advantage of Zoom and all the other ones.
Yes.
And I think our relationships just grew during that time period. But getting back to travel, I have to tell you, School International has some folks that just recently attended the what we call the NASCA, North America Skull Conference. And
right.
We had a lot of the leaders from Skull International with all the Skull USA members, leadership. So I think putting the leadership together with the core membership really has been helpful. Now, Wayne, we just got three or four minutes left on this segment. And what I want you to do is not necessarily talk about the highlights, but talk about these three programs, the Young Skull, the young professionals, and how they kind of work with this workforce development concept.
Yeah, for sure, Tom. It's something that's been a part of Skull for a while. You know, the Young Skull and really growing, you know, our young talent into professionals, young professionals into their career in the travel and tourism industry. We're taking it a few steps forward, and we're pushing it into the, in a nice way, pushing may not be the right word, but we are pushing it into the universities. And we are currently in talks with Cornell University. University of Florida has already signed on about forming individual charters inside of their universities to allow them to utilize the strength that we have and what we're all talking about here, and that is the knowledge that comes with the professionals that are already members. And on the flip side, I mean, yes, they can use that and look at it as a mentor or maybe an internship or maybe even a future hire. But on the flip side, we look at this as an opportunity to really create our own pool of talent and bring it into our own industries, into our own types of businesses. And even if you are the boutique marketing communications agency like myself, I plan on doing that. So it's taken its hold right now. It's still young to us, and in the sense of, you know, yes, Young Skull has been around for a while, but not at this level. We're trying to push it to a different level. I feel very confident that we're moving in the right direction, and we're excited about it because it's allowing us to stay relevant in today's times.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had mentioned this at NASC, is that this is a great motivator for existing Skull members, too, because when you're become a young professional, you're assigned a mentor, I mean, within that club. And so the way it works is predominantly the Skull members is a senior manager and above. So you have this first level where you're a young college student and you can have your own kind of mini club within your campus, and you interact with the nearest Skull club. Then you go into the young professionals when you've in a sense graduated. You're still working in tourism, okay, but you can continue that relationship and growing and getting to know the folks that are involved in tourism. Because I think once you get to know all the folks in the tourism business within your community, and it's such a variety between transportation, hotels, and restaurants and attractions, and it's just unbelievable the amount that is involved in tourism. And then we hope that you're going to be on that fast track to become a manager and above in tourism. And then, of course, that's where, you're really heading in the right direction with your career, whether it be the right salary that you want or the right job. So we're going to be back. We have one, believe it or not, this goes really quick, but we're going to be talking about the future of Skull and how we are adapting to the Gen Zs, the Gen Xs, the Millennials, and all those kind of folks that are younger than a lot of the folks that are in this meeting right now. And we'll be right back, because that'll be exciting to listen to Denise and Andres, especially about, since they are, and Wayne, since they are the future leaders here of Skull International and Skull USA. This is Tom Holton, and you're on The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back and we're talking all about workforce development in Skoll. Well, we're back, and in studio with me is Art Alice, and he'll be our star at 8 o'clock as we talk a little bit about Art and his journey through Skoll. And it's almost 50 years, not quite 50 years, right, Art? But it's getting close to that. I think there's a few of those 50-plus years folks, and I think, Wayne, I think somebody, was it you, or that talked about that some there are some folks out there that have been in the Skoll for over 50 years, and those are pretty amazing people. So the last segment, because these folks got to go back to work, is going to be about the future of Skoll. And I want to start with you, Denise, because you've now made it to the top position and been part of all kinds of different discussions. And next week, we're going to have Mark Ergang and Jack Wirt going to talk about the new committee futures and some of the things. So we won't really have to go into depth because we'll have that next week. But let's start, Denise. And again, you have about a minute and a half. The future of Skoll.
Well, our theme this year is Leading Today and Shaping Tomorrow. We inherited an incredible organization, and it's up to us to now secure it, look to the future, and pass it on to the next generations. And in doing that, we're putting together a strategic plan, which will look to what do we need to look like in 5 years, maybe 10 years? What does Skoll need to do? We need to mirror the industry as it is today. We need to maybe look at different communications. We need to work out what that generation is going to want, and we need to include them in the discussion. So we're very much going down that path with new technology, new website, and lots of different tools that we can do that with. So I'm quite excited about it. It's a lot to think about, but it's certainly an exciting project.
Well, thank you, Denise, for that insight. Andres.
Tom, I echo what President Denise said. At the end of the day, it's not going to be just one item that we have to focus. There's a lot of things that's going to help us to shape the future of this organization. So we're looking, like I mentioned before, you know, we look at the different requirements from a country perspective. We have to look at what's happening with technology, like President Denise just mentioned. Wayne talked about, you know, the futures of the business. And like I said before, one of the things that we advocate is global challenges. And part of those global challenges is to be able to mentor the generation behind us. And that's one of the things that, you know, from a USA initiative, they are doing with Project Future. But at the same time, that also is going to help us in education because we are mentoring this new generation. We'll facilitate them. Then when they're ready, then they can become members of this organization as well. So the answer is not just going to be one formula. So what I'm trying to say is going to be a combination of multiple formulas to be able to take us to that next level. So we're looking at the young professionals, we're looking at the students, we're looking at AI, we're looking at the challenge, we're looking at the cultural aspect, we're looking about the challenges per country and per region. All of that is going to be a combination of what is going to take us to a new future. Because if we look at when this organization started 92 years ago, it was just to be able to sit, to mingle, and to be able to have some cocktails and just, you know, have a good time. And that was it. You know, there was no stress. Then we as, you know, the industry changed because, you know, Tom, and you were a huge advocate back in the days about, you know, times have changed. Before we talk about the airline business, you know, and that was a huge component. And the airline business made a huge change. So, you know, we rely on the hoteliers, we rely on the travel agencies. So, like I said, the world is changing. The industry changed. We have to change as well.
Thank you.
So it's going to be a great exercise altogether.
Thank you, Andres. I think we have a bright future with you as the incoming president. Wayne, they don't have a lot of time, but you're going to be in charge of Skoll USA, and I'm sure you got some growth opportunities here.
We do, Tom, and I'll just touch on a few here, knowing that we don't have a lot of time coming up at the top of the hour. But we kind of touched on, you know, the types of members, the categories that we do have as members, and I'm looking at just for Skoll USA here. Our top membership category are hoteliers, and it's followed by travel agents. And those are the two categories, Andreas, that you just now mentioned. You know, I feel that that's where we need to go and continue to grow. And there's also many other type of categories that do very, very well being members of our organization, like restaurants, like destination management companies, tour operators, tourism organizations, whether if they're local or international, and the transportation side with the airlines and the car rentals and even the cruise lines and sea ferries and so forth. I think those are areas that we could grow in really, really quickly and really, really fast, just by being there and marketing to them with the right message, because we do have the actual base for them already laid in, you know? So that's how I see it on the USA level. And also by following the lead of what Scholar International does.
Well, thank you all for joining us. I know that hour went really quick. This is The Morning Voice, and thank you to my guest. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and it's the 8 o'clock hour, and then we have a lively show there, Art, with the current leaders and future leaders of Skoll International, a global tourism organization of all travel and tourism, the one-of-a-kind organization that's been around since really officially 1934. I think New York was the first club, and we've been going strong, 35 clubs currently right now, a little over 1,300 members, and we're working hard of getting the Texas back. One of the folks that I've had the opportunity to know for almost three decades is a good friend of mine, Art Alice, and he is in the studio. And when I talk about you, Art, it's sometimes I struggle a little bit because you were in the restaurant business and you were in the hotel business and you were a leader. And I've been to organizational meetings where you can talk about the fathers of the restaurant industry, the ones from the past and the current. So I want to welcome you to the show. I think this next this hour is going to be a little bit more in depth about how lucky we are to have Art as part of the Skoll Tucson chapter of Skoll International. But there are some things that you're going to learn about Art, because he was the kind of the not always the person behind the scenes, but certainly he was in front of the camera, so to speak, as well in Tucson. But he brought a lot of experience from other locations here in the United States, and maybe perhaps we'll learn international. So good morning, Art. Glad you're here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah,
I found it easy today. Yeah, a year ago, I was on. I struggled. So, I enjoyed last hour with my friends from around the world. Denise from Australia, who was in Spain this morning at Skoll International headquarters, and Andres Hayes from Washington D.C., who is a good friend and the president-elect for Skoll International, and a fairly new friend, Wayne Lee from New York, who serves with us on the executive board of Skoll USA.
Yeah, and I would have to say all of them, I think, were past presidents of their local chapter, which really helps. I had the opportunity, and I think Art, where we were presidents multiple times over the course of our careers, but we've stayed on the board of Skoll Tucson, and hopefully we've shared some great thoughts. And of course, we're all looking for new leaders or we're always looking for the younger generation to come in, because Art, you're retired, but not really, because you're sharing your brain and your experience with colleagues from around the world. And I get the opportunity every Thursday to be sitting here talking to great people like you. Now, before we get started with Art, we got a couple things we have to do with Timmy. Timmy, are you still on?
I am still on.
So one of the things that we do with our co-host is Timmy gets to talk a little bit about the upcoming events here in Tucson. So the microphone is yours, Tim.
All right. Well, thank you. And hello, Art.
Hello.
All right. Well, I feel like I should yell this out. World Margarita Championship.
And it's here in Tucson.
It is. It is Sunday, June 14th at our favorite resort, the Westward Look. And so get ready for a spirited evening of flavor, creativity, and friendly competition for the World Margarita Championship. It's an annual showdown where Tucson's top chefs and mixologists battle it out for the ultimate margarita and culinary crown, presented by Sokka, and 1030 The Voice is a sponsor.
Hey, you know what? Matt, we didn't have to pay for that commercial, did we? We're going to make sure show. Patty needs to know that.
I am a volunteer. And then we also have summer streetcar savings. Hop on, save big, ride the Sunlink, and enjoy special summer discounts at your favorite local spots. Just flash your digital savings pass at participating businesses near the streetcar line and unlock exclusive deals. You can download this free pass on your smartphone at visittucson.org/streetcarsavings. So be sure to go to thisistucson.com and visittucson.org to learn more about these activities and many, many more.
Well, thank you, Tim. I know I'll be at the Sokka Margarita Championship. There used to be something. Yeah, that's been around for a while. And then, of course, Sokka, Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, is one of our wonderful members of the SAAA. And there is one more passport we should mention, and that's the Tucson Attractions Passport. And that gives you big savings, 2-for-1s, to all the attractions here and other discounts, I should say, to over 100 attractions. And you can go to TucsonAttractions.com and make sure you download. You can do a digital for 3-day, turn it on for 7-day, or turn it on for the rest of the year. Or you can go, Art's got his hand raised. So, Art.
Well, you reminded me, about a year ago, I was talking to a neighbor, and they said their three grandchildren were coming to town, and they were thinking how expensive it was going to be. And we said, well, you got to get the attractions booklet, and you get 2-for-1s. And they did so, and they thanked us because they were like four people, and they got it half price.
That's big savings.
Because of that savings. So
well, that,
more people need to know about it.
Matt, that's two free commercials today from
our
host and our very important guest today. So, Art, again, it's been a little over a year since you've been on here in the studio, and I don't think we really got a chance to get to know Art. And so we thought we'd take this opportunity, since we've been talking about Skull, about how Art has been part of the tourism community. And he's got a great story about that hotel that loves to give you chocolate chip cookies. So I'm sure we'll hear about that today. But first, because we got about 4 minutes before we go to the first break, let's learn a little bit about Art.
Well, thank you. Well, I grew up in a hotel, really. when I was young, my father managed the Connor Hotel in Joplin, Missouri, and so I was living in the hotel, and we're going to go way back in bad technology. To make a phone call, you had to click for the operator in the hotel. Well, my parents would go down to dinner, they'd leave the phone by my crib, and the operator would check it, and if I cried, they'd get my mother, and she'd come up. So that's how I started in the hotel business. But my father and uncle were in the business, and I followed suit and loved the business. And my uncle said, if you're going to be in the hotel business, you better learn food and beverage, because you'll never know everything there is to know about food and beverage. And he says, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You can learn rooms in a week. That was a little exaggeration, but I spent my college years really working the back of the house, a lot of cooking and at different stations. So that was what hooked me, and I had the opportunity to go to the greatest hotel school in the world, Cornell University, and graduated from there.
Yeah, and I heard Wayne talk about that they're striking a deal with Cornell and to be part of this Skoll formula and this mentorship and workforce development that we talked about the first hour. Of course, we got him just, you know, kind of mention a little bit about Pima Community College, because over the years they've been tied to Northern Arizona University in generating culinary and hotel experts. And we are lucky to have a new fellow. He's not a Skoll member yet. We hope he'll become one. But the culinary school at Pima Community College is in full swing. And, of course, it's a two-year college, so they're still working with NAU. You know, I had a chance to work with Barry, who was in charge of the culinary program for many years, and as we work on the board with Tucson City of Gastronomy. I have to say that we're going to be turning out some really great chefs from that school in the hospitality industry. And so, obviously, hotels, okay, generally have a restaurant. They don't necessarily have a good restaurant, but there are a lot that have good restaurants. And when you took over the DoubleTree, can you recall some of the stories? Because I think the DoubleTree became probably one of the largest places to have your corporate event after that.
Well, we had, in the early years, we did more volume in food and beverage than we did in rooms. And, of course, room rates were dreadfully low in Tucson in those days. But the big thing that we had a 24-hour coffee shop out front, and we had a nice restaurant called the Banyan Tree. And the gimmick with the Banyan Tree is when you sat down, you got a crock of peel your own shrimp, and that was just huge value, and that was a popular restaurant.
And let's leave it at that, because we got to go to our first break, because there was this big building, I think, that contributed to the success of the DoubleTree that you were very engaged in. And I've heard this story, but I think it would be good to share that with our listening audience. Well, this is The Morning Voice. And we'll be right back. And here we go. This is where the first Skoll International USA Club was formed sometime in, I think it was the 40s, but I'm not quite sure. Wayne's not on the air anymore. It's in New York. So we'll be right back. Thank you, Matt. We're featuring the songs that represent a city that there is a Skoll Club at. So with 35 clubs. That represent, you know, pretty much all the major cities, and except for maybe we're trying to rebuild in Texas. We used to have one in Austin and San Antonio and Houston, and I know that's a big, you know, initiative with the Skoll USA Executive Committee and Board to put, you know, those clubs back into action again, because they were really, really successful clubs back in the day. We're here talking with Art Alice and Tim Vimmerstedt. Our co-host is on, and feel free to jump in here, Tim, because you were a culinary guy over at Trail Dust Town, and then I brought you back here as the sales and catering manager of Old Tucson, and then Rawhide stole you away, and Biosphere stole you away, and then you came back over to the Desert Museum, and you were there for 10 years, so you have been kind of a big part of the tourism and culinary experience here as part of senior management of those fine companies. So feel free to jump in. I should mention, since we in the traffic just talked about the closing of Kinney Road, you can still get to Old Tucson by using Gates Pass. You turn left, not right. And that's on the way to the Desert Museum. And there's a water break there. And being a former lease property over at and featuring Old Tucson and Desert Museum, often the water lines would break. And so the McCain Loop is your way to get to the Desert Museum. So you can still do the tours at Old Tucson, and you can obviously enjoy the animals and the plant life over at the Desert Museum, despite the fact that the road is closed, fixing a water line. So I took over your territory there just for a moment.
Perfect.
You know, since they're all members, I thought hopefully everyone appreciates
you'd
the fact.
You'd be our new traffic reporter. You did a good job.
I think you're best suited to help me because sometimes I need some help. So we're here with Art and Alice and a longtime Skull Tucson member, a longtime member of the tourism community. And we were talking about the Doubletree and home of the famous chocolate chip cookie. But when you got there at the Doubletree, there were some improvements that you made that I really helped the Doubletree increase its business.
The hotel was a year and a half old when I got there. A lot of people think I opened it, but I didn't. I was the third GM. And when they planned the hotel, they were overly optimistic. They had a hotel in Seattle that was going gangbusters, and they used that as a base, and they said, gee, if we had 100 more rooms in Seattle, we'd be in great shape. And so they put the 100 more rooms in Tucson, and they were not in great shape. And after some time, we had a meeting. We were called up to corporate in the middle of summer, and we'd had a disastrous month. Of course, in those days, Tucson really dropped off in the summertime. And at the end of the meeting, they said, okay, if you're in a vacuum, how would you fix the hotel? And I took a piece of paper and I drew a rectangle on it and divided it into four sections and divided the ends into three and said, I'd build a 10,000 square foot ballroom. Make a long story short, we hired an architect and built the ballroom, and that gave the Doubletree the meeting space to sell more rooms and turn the hotel around. So that's that story. And let's move to current times. If I may.
Yes, you may.
I talked about being an infant, and the telephone technology at the time was that you got the operator to connect you if you're making an outgoing call. And of course, communications has just gone berserk since then. And I have had the opportunity in the last several years in Skull to be on some international committees. And of course, during COVID, we've really explored the power of Zoom. And today, and over the last few years, if you're on an international committee and you use Zoom, it's just this marvelous opportunity how the world has shrunk. One of the committees I'm on is the Skull International Finance Committee, and the director of finance for Skull International is from India, and the chairman of the finance committee is also from India. So interesting thing I learned is that India is on the half hour, not the hour. So when the
the whole world is, the clocks are on the hour, and India is on the half hour. So I missed the first call because I couldn't figure out what day I was supposed to be on. But so we'll get on a call, and we're looking at each other on our screens, and we've got two people from India. We've got a person from Australia, a person from Peru, Spain, all over the world. And it's just fabulous. And we're communicating and talking about our feelings on a subject. And it's amazing how we agree. And of course, Skoll is not a political organization. So politics don't come into play in it. And we're talking about the finances of an organization. We're talking about websites and things like that. And the dynamics are great. And you think, gee, I was talking to someone in Peru last night and someone from Vienna. What a great world it is.
You know, we talked about the common denominators of a Skoll member. How would you answer that question? That you're on the phone, and the only thing you really know about these people, that they're Skoll members first, right? And that they are giving their time to help the organization. So you got all these new people on there. You've never met them before. Are there two or three characteristics that really stand out about when you visit a Skoll member for the first time?
Well, I think that they're passionate about the organization. They're passionate about travel and tourism. And the interesting thing is, I spent years in the hotel industry, and early out, if I went to a meeting, it was with hotel people. And so I'm general manager of a hotel in Columbus, Ohio, and I go to a Columbus Hotel Association meeting, or I go to Ohio HSMA meeting in Cincinnati, and I'm with hotel people. And I always believed in you got to pay your civic rent, so I might be involved in a committee with the Chamber of Commerce in those early days. And at some point, the partner of the Hertz franchise in Columbus, Ohio, invited me to a Skoll meeting. And that was my first introduction. And suddenly I'm in a room with travel agents, with the Visitors Bureau, with American Airlines executives, with TWA executives, with...
Let's pick up the story from there, Art, because we got to go to our break. I don't know if there was a Skoll Club in Columbus at the time or not, but we'll hear about that when we get back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Olten. Well, good morning. We're here with Art Alice, a good friend of mine, a hotelier, ran many restaurants over his career. He says he's retired, but he gives a lot of time to Skoll International and Skoll USA and to Skoll Tucson. Helped with his relationships with Westward Look to keep that club going while many clubs in the United States were struggling. We had a hotelier that joined forces and was a member, and there's a little story behind that. We don't have time to get into that, but let me just say I think we helped each other staying in business as a result of us doing business together amongst friends, which is really the model of Skoll International. That really no one brought it up at that first hour, but so I'm happy to bring that up. So Art, we were continuing our conversation regarding the phone call you had with all these international folks, and then you segued into a little bit to do with the hotels and how wonderful it was to meet all the other hotel managers and the things that came from that. But let's take it from there.
Well, I mentioned that I was invited to a Skoll meeting, and shortly thereafter, I moved to Tucson, and I got involved in the hotel association locally at first, and I got involved in some civic org volunteer work, and I'd been here about 9 months, and Sky Leininger, who owned the lodge on the desert, invited me to a SCAL meeting. And at Tucson SCAL, I made some fabulous friends right off the bat. We had people with American Airlines, with TWA, with Hertz, with Avis, travel agents, and I think it was the city convention and visitors bureau at the time, and so they invited me to join, and interesting enough, that year, which was I think my second meeting, SCAL hosted the North American SCAL Congress, which is meeting every May of SCAL leagues from the United States, Canada, Mexico, and any islands like St. Croix or St. Martin that have SCAL clubs, and they meet in a city for 3 days, and that was our Congress back in 1976. So boy, that's a long time ago. And that was a great introduction. And where I've been fortunate is that right off the bat, I got exposed to a North American Congress, and I've had the opportunity to go. I lost count. I'm probably pushing 20 of those. And I've made great friends all over the country and great business contacts. And SCAL is just a fabulous organization to do business with friends and to utilize the resources of the organization. A quick story. I was going to Boston, where I've been too many times, and I was taking one of my sons, who had not been to Boston. I looked in the SCAL directory and saw that the owner of the trolley that jump on and off in Boston was a SCAL league. I contacted them, made me a good deal, and when we were in Boston, we were on that trolley. Use it for, if I'm going to another city, if I don't know a hotel, yay there, I use it. But there's great stories that deal with colleagues. We were having a meeting in Boston. It was one of my first meetings with the executive committee, and the first night we went to Cheers. Now, most of you are familiar with the TV show Cheers, and Cheers is actually a bar in the Hampshire House Hotel. I think it's the Hampshire House in Boston on Beacon Street. The owner of Cheers is a SCAL league in the Boston SCAL Club. And so there's about 10 of us were at Cheers. Someone called him. He came down. He lives in the hotel. He came down, and we had cocktails and dinner at Cheers, and he turned to one of our members, Holly, and he said, "I guess I'm picking up the check." And she said, "That'd be very kind of you." And so he picked up the check. But SCAL is, of course, way beyond Boston. I think, the largest club in the United States. I was going to Orlando to visit a son, and I called a SCAL league that I knew very well in Orlando. I said, "Can you get me a hotel deal?" He said, "I'll get back to you." He got us a friends and family rate in one of the nicest hotels in Winter Park, and so those things go on and on. I was, for a while, I lived in Albuquerque, and I got a call from a colleague who was in the airport management business. He said, can you do a meeting for us? I've got 12 airport managers from the Western United States. I said, yes. And we booked them in a piece of business. So that's the other side of the story as well.
You know, there's a thing that you and I shared when I was the VP, the regional VP, and I was dispatched to Santa Fe, and there's a Skull Club there. And they were thinking about becoming a dinner club. And kind of ignoring maybe or not being aware of some of the other benefits of being associated with Skull International. So they dispatched me down there, and you know, it didn't take much for me to volunteer. I met some of the nicest people that I've ever met, and was welcomed by a hotel that was a Skull member. I had a wonderful dinner that was a Skull member. He had at a wonderful, famous Mexican restaurant with a lot of his recipes from his mom and his grandmom. And it was a staple of Santa Fe. And now he runs a wine distributor service. But that is probably, if I was going to write a paper about what entails the perfect Skull Club, it would have to be about Santa Fe. And you have taken over my duties to keep the close relationship with Santa Fe. And share the story with how special that club is.
They invited me over several years ago to install their officers for the incoming year. So I received a list of the incoming officers, and I sent them three questions. And why did you join Skull? What do you like about Skull? And so the answers were all different, but the theme was the same. You could pull a common thread through it. We joined Skull because Skull in Santa Fe are the leaders in the travel and tourism industry in a city that is very dependent on that industry. And we have this common interest. And what they really loved about it was that while they might see many of their members two or three times a week on other committees, they enjoyed the social environment of 25 to 35 people meeting. And they meet for lunches. They have terrific lunches. And they just really enjoy each other. To me, it is really the essence of the history of Skull, of the leaders of this industry, the decision makers meeting in a social environment, exchanging ideas, and enjoying one's another's company. And they do it as well as any club I've seen.
Well said, and I begrudgingly handed that over to you because I miss going to Santa Fe Skull, and my wife thoroughly enjoyed it. And you are when I asked the question, so tell me about why you're leaving Skull. They go, who told you that? We never said that. You know, as a matter of fact, you being here and showing that you care about us is the reason why we're so excited, because there's a face to Skull, and we're already practicing everything that's good about Skull, and we got to be back. We'll be back in a break, and we'll start with that. because it is the best skull club that we all can learn from. This is The Morning Voice. Well, we're back, and we're featuring songs from where there's a local skull club. This particular one, was Randy Newman. Good choice there. We're in the studio with Art Alice. Our first hour was featured the leadership of Skull International and Skull USA, and we're here with a gentleman that has been part of the Skull Tucson leadership for a long time. One of the things that takes place with Skull is that we take care of our own in times of hardships. And Art wanted to talk a little bit about that special fund that all the Skull clubs contribute to.
Thank you, Tom. Very unique amongst organizations is that Skull has a fund named after the founder of Skull International, Florman Volkart. And people and clubs contribute to this fund, which is established to help Skull leagues or their families in need. And over the years, they have distributed millions of dollars to people in need. Most of it is totally anonymous. People apply to a committee of three people internationally, and they evaluate the request and award funds to help those people in need. Once in a while, we hear of an actual one, someone volunteers it. When you mentioned Santa Fe, there was a case of someone in Santa Fe who was in need and got the award or the payment from the Volkart Fund and has talked about it extensively. And there's no other organization I'm aware of all these great organizations that has that benefit to their members.
Yeah, and with the recent global chaos, I think this fund has come in very handy for those countries their members are very much in need. And remember, this is a global, so I think the largest club in the U.S., as you mentioned, is Boston, and the largest club, I believe, used to be Istanbul. I'm not sure if that's still the largest club, overall in Skull International, but just kind of, there are a lot of stories that are told about how warring factions would get back together again vis-a-vis a skull meeting, especially in the Middle East. I remember Mock told us that story, and I think the lady from Istanbul told that story as well. And while we're a non-political, we're a friendship organization, and we've said it maybe three or four times, but when I started, I didn't know anybody in the destination marketing organization, and I got invited by the PM Air and Space executive director, and at that time, we had pretty much everybody I wanted to know in my first 3 months or so. I got to know all the tourism leaders, and I think that was a big, big opportunity for me to leverage, assistance and collaborate with them. And Old Tucson, I think, was recovering from a fire at that time, and the assistance and the friendship was just absolutely overwhelming. Well, Art, we want to thank you for being here. There's always so much more to talk about. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And if you want to know anything about Skull Tucson, Just call me here at the station, or very easy, Tom, or T. Moulton at TucsonAttractions.com, and I can help you learn more about the Skull Club that's here, and you'll get to meet great people like Art Alice. We'll see you next Thursday. We're going to talk with Mark Ergang and Jack Wirt about the future of Skull and the things that they're doing, so we're not going to stop.